I want to bring you a message today on the topic of the cities of refuge. Our scripture reading is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. You know, the tribe of Levi did not have any inheritance in the land of Canaan. Rather, they were given 48 cities out of the several tribes in which to live. Six of the 48 cities were to be cities of refuge. Three of these cities were located on the east side of Jordan, and three on the west. Those west of Jordan were Kedesh in the tribe of Naphtali, Shechem in the tribe of Ephraim, and Hebron in the tribe of Judah. On the east of the Jordan were Bezer in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth-Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in the half-tribe of Manasseh. These cities were conveniently situated as a place of refuge to which a manslayer who had committed unintentional homicide might flee. These cities were not for willful murderers, but they were for those that killed unaware. You note especially in Deuteronomy 4 and 42 how this is brought out, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hate him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. The nearest of kin, called the Avenger of Blood, or the Goel, was commanded to slay the manslayer wherever he found him. If he could overtake him before he reached the city of refuge, then the Goel was allowed to kill the manslayer. Numbers 35 and 19 says, The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Peradventure, the fugitive reached the city of refuge. He was to undergo a solemn trial and to prove to the congregation that the killing was accidental. Numbers 35 and 12 says, as we note again, And they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Then verse 24 adds, Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. If the manslayer was found guilty, he was handed over to the avenger of blood to be put to death. If acquitted of intentional killing, he must remain within the city or suburb until the death of the high priest. If the manslayer was found outside the city at any time, he could be put to death by the avenger of blood. These six cities of refuge were typical of the way of salvation by Jesus Christ. The names of these cities even pointed to Christ. Kedesh means holy. Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. Shechem means shoulder, suggesting how Christ bore our sins upon his shoulders on the tree. Hebron signifies fellowship. Christ is the source of our fellowship with God and with His people. Bezer denotes a fortified place. Christ is our stronghold, a place of defense. Ramoth suggests exaltations. Christ is exalted at the Father's right hand. Golan means manifested. Christ was God manifested in the flesh. The Bible in both Testaments present Christ as the city of refuge for guilty sinners who come to Him. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 33 and 27, "The eternal God is thy refuge." King David declared, "The God of my rock, in whom will I trust? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior." Paul speaks of the believer being found in Christ in Philippians 3:9. And then the writer of Hebrews represents the believer as having fled for refuge to Christ in Hebrews 6 and 18. A comparison of the cities of refuge to Christ will be profitable and edifying to our spirits. It will enhance the beauty of the Old Testament types and shadows of Christ. Guided by the Holy Spirit, I trust, let us consider these cities as typical of the way of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us, first of all, to look at the state of the manslayer. There, I believe, we'll see the condition of a lost sinner. The unhappy state of the manslayer reminds us of the miserable and dangerous condition of every sinner out of Christ. The sinner is guilty of the murder of his own soul. The consequence of his sinful acts are death. As the manslayer was in danger of being overtaken by the Goel and put to death, so the sinner is pursued by the justice of God, by the curse of the law, by a guilty conscience, and by death, the king of terrors. We're told in Psalm 7, verses 11 through 13, "God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors." The manslayer could not restore the life of his neighbor that he had taken by an unfortunate accident, nor could he give a ransom for it, even if he had the whole world at his own command. Likewise, a poor lost sinner cannot undo his sins, nor give a ransom for his own soul. The psalmist said, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." Psalms 49, verse 7. All that the sinner can do is to look to Jesus Christ, the antitype of the cities of refuge. I note that these cities were of divine appointment. The similarity between the cities of refuge, appointed for the protection of the manslayer, and Jesus Christ are worthy of serious study and comparison. Both remedies were of divine appointment. The protection of the manslayer was not owing to the strength of the walls or the gates of the city. It was purely due to the sovereign appointment of our God. In like manner, God appointed Jesus Christ to be our Savior. We're told in John 3 and 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And then we're told in John 5, 37, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent Me, hath borne witness of Me." And that's the saying of Christ there. Peter said of Christ in Acts 5, 31, "Him hath God exalted with His own right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." These cities were located in conspicuous spots. They could be seen at a great distance. Christ is conspicuously presented in the Bible in all of the 66 books. He can be seen in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. He is clearly seen throughout the New Testament. All of these cities were erected on high, elevated ground. Even so, Christ was lifted up on the cross so as to be seen of all men that passed by on the road by the cross. Everything was done to facilitate the flight of the manslayer, lest he be overtaken by the avenger of blood. It was the business, I'm told, of the Sanhedrin to keep the roads leading to the cities of refuge in the best possible repair. No hills were left. Every river was bridged, and the road was at least 32 cubits broad. At every turn, there was a guidepost bearing the words, "Refuge, refuge." The cities were so strategically located that the manslayer could reach them in a half a day's journey. In the same manner, it may be said that God has opened up the road to heaven and made the way of salvation plain in the gospel. The sinner's Savior is not a half a day's journey away. Christ is as near as the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Paul said in Romans 10, verses 6 through 8, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That he is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That he is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach." These cities of refuge were open for the strangers as well as the Israelites. Likewise, it may be said that Jesus Christ is the Savior, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, as well as the Jews, have a portion in the Messiah. The Apostle Paul so well said in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The promise is sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." When the fugitive had reached the city of refuge, he was protected and secure against the avenger of blood. Even so, the one that flees to Christ for refuge is perfectly safe and secure from the avenger of divine justice. Romans 8 and 1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." While on the way to the city, the manslayer's throbbing heart beat very high with the impulse of fear. He thought that every man who met him might be the one to slay him. But when the avenger was in the city of refuge, he was legally secure and could talk with the avenger without turning pale around the mouth. Even so, the awakened sinner, with his tormenting conscience, fears the many instruments of death daily about him while he's outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet at the moment that he finds refuge in Christ, he can answer his accuser and say to every enemy, "O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end." He can join with the Apostle Paul's triumphant challenge, saying, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." As long as the high priest lived, the manslayer lived in a place of safety. The high priest, while he lived, by his service and sacrifice, made an atonement for sin. What a prefiguration of the satisfaction of Christ. Thank God for the endless life of our great high priest. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Heaven be praised. Jesus Christ, our priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, has said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Our life is hid with Christ in God. I have eternal salvation because I have an ever-living high priest. But there's another possible meaning here. When the high priest died, the man was set at liberty. He could return home to his family and his friends. Even so, when Christ, the great high priest of the elect of God, died at Calvary, we were freed from the wrath to come, from the curse of the law, from the tyranny of Satan, from the love and practice of sin, from the fear of death and the misery of hell. In all things, Christ must have the preeminence. The antitype is always superior to the type, as a person is superior to his own picture. The cities of refuge were six in number, yet Christ is the only Savior and Mediator. Man needs no other Savior, for the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. His merits are inexhaustible and unchangeable, and His intercession always prevails. Only the innocent and unfortunate manslayer was benefited by the cities of refuge. But Christ is the refuge for the guilty. He died for the sinners and the ungodly. He is the Savior of men in all nations and stations of life. Some in all classes and in every description have already fled to Him for refuge and are saved with an everlasting salvation. Yea, a multitude which no man can number, of all nations, are kept safe by Him. These cities were appointed for protection for unintentional killers. But Jesus Christ is a remedy for every disease, a supply for every want, a calm for every fear, and a consolation in every affliction, even in death, when heart and flesh fail. Christ will be the strength of our heart and our portion forever. The six cities could only protect the manslayer's natural life. In contrast to this, Christ delivers from eternal and spiritual death. A manslayer might have died in the city of refuge before the high priest did. But those in Christ have eternal life. They can never perish. They can never be lost to the devil or be permitted to burn in the flames of hell. He who fled to a city of refuge was in a state of exile from his family and his friends. He was even separated from his inheritance. But in Christ, believers enjoy perfect liberty, and they have an eternal inheritance that is reserved in heaven for them. We're told in John 8:36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And then in Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." How secure and happy is the state of one who has fled to Jesus Christ for refuge. Hebrews 6:17-18 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." It behooves a person to examine himself and to see whether these promises, confirmed by an oath, are those that belong to him. The word "flee" implies a sense of danger, which proceeds from a feeling of guilt, a despair of every other refuge, and a firm belief in the security that's found in Jesus Christ only. The awakened sinner has been brought to say, "I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Then, like Paul, He counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, he is Lord, for whom he suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that he may win Christ. The cities of refuge were to be entered in haste. The manslayer was to flee to one of them as soon as possible. Like the manslayer, the awakened sinner is to make haste and to flee to Jesus Christ, the refuge set before him. The city gates are open, the way is prepared, the law is satisfied, justice atoned, and God reconciled. Let nothing retard your flight unto the hope set before you, sinner. Let not the number of your sins prevent you from taking refuge in Jesus Christ the Lord. It would have been the height of folly for a manslayer to have folded his arms in a cool indifference and said, "If I am elected to be saved from the avenger of blood, I'll be saved. I am in no way responsible to flee to the city of refuge." Such a fool would have died an awful death at the hands of the Goel. Sinner, do not be so foolish as to suppose that you're in no way obligated to flee to Christ as your refuge. You are responsible to flee to him for refuge. To remain indifferent and unconcerned about your condition is to destroy your own soul. You're not safe until you know that you're savingly joined to Christ by repentance and faith. Christ is the only refuge appointed of God where a sinner can find safety and protection from the wrath to come. All other refuges are refuges of lies. O sinner, consider your helpless and miserable condition before God. You're laden with guilt, covered with pollution, and bound with the chains of sin. You're a rebel against God, an alien, and an outcast from his favor. If you look up, you see an offended God as your almighty enemy. If you let your eyes wander downwards, hell from beneath is moving to enwrap you in its flames. If you look back to the past, a host of transgressions as numerous as the sands of the sea will overwhelm you. If you penetrate into the future, you can see the judgment day with all of its terrors, a sight which torments you before the time. If you look inside your own heart, your conscience condemns you as an awful sinner before God. There is only one object in the universe that offers you hope. It's Jesus Christ, the refuge set before you in the gospel of salvation. It's wisdom on your part to say with the songwriter of old, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all, in thee I find. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin." O sinner, flee, flee to Jesus Christ for refuge from the wrath to come. May God help you, is my prayer as I conclude this message to sinners.